Amen. Thank you, brother. We're back to our Bibles, and we're moving to Acts chapter 16, and we're commencing to read at verse 14. Acts 16 and verse 14. Let's hear the Lord's word as we read together. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher calling all Canadians back to the Bible, because this is how the Lord Jesus resisted the devil. It was his weapon against every suggestion of his arch enemy. Jesus knew how to resist the devil with a clear Bible text. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, he said. The Lord followed the principle that if it's wrong before God his Father, then it is always wrong, no matter who says it. Jesus would not become the slave of the devil. So the devil tried another way to make the Lord serve him. He took the Lord Jesus up into a high mountain. He had him look out over the lands around to show him the kingdoms of this world. Then the devil tried to trap the Lord Jesus again by saying, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Aha! That is what the devil wanted all along. He did not just want the Lord Jesus to show his power or to enjoy fresh bread when he was hungry. The devil wanted to have the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, fall down at his feet to worship him. That was the wicked and horrible thinking of Satan. Who does the devil think he is? The devil was created by God. The devil rebelled against God, trying to make himself like God. It was his pride that made the devil so determined to make a slave out of the Lord Jesus. Pride, that thinking that you are better than anyone else,
is so wicked, and to think that a fallen, sinful creature can be given the same honor as God and be worshipped by the Lord Jesus is crazy. But that is the way the devil thinks. He is crazy and will try anything to have people worship and serve him. The devil wants to make you his slave. He wants you to love him and to give your whole life to serve him. So many young people, and older people too, fall into the devil's trap and end up his slave. The devil hates to see you worship the Lord Jesus and honor him. The devil can't stand the honor and worship that Christians give to the Lord Jesus. He will seek to bring people into his trap. Will you let him? If you do, he will ruin your life and destroy your soul. On that third attempt also, the Lord did not fall into Satan's trap. He quoted another Bible text. The Lord said, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." The Lord commanded the devil to get away from him. He would not bow down to the devil. He would not listen to the clever talk of the devil. The Lord Jesus fought him with the truths of the Bible. For that, the Lord got the victory over the devil. And for that, the angels of heaven came and sang praises to the Lord Jesus. They honored him for his faithfulness to God by resisting the devil. When you are tempted, you should also turn to the Bible, saying, "It is written." Then you can pray for the Lord to deliver you. Jesus can deliver you from the devil's attacks because Jesus defeated the devil at every point. And on the cross, the Lord totally broke the devil's power. Now you can say that the devil is a defeated foe. He is on the run. The Lord calls on you also to resist the devil. And he promises that the devil will flee from you. Hold fast, therefore, to the Bible. Live in the promises of the Lord. Then pray for the Lord to defeat the devil in your life. That's the victory every Christian is promised when they refuse to serve the devil. Resist the devil, but cling to the Lord as your Lord and your Savior, trusting in his power to deliver you. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and we are now moving to our message on the devil's opposition from Acts chapter 16.
Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now that's your responsibility. The devil wants you to fail in that one. He wants you to grow cold, grow weary, grow distracted, shorten your prayer times, and keep your praying just to temporal things. Praying for your food, your clothing, your bills, your general decisions of life. And that's right and good. But when you start praying against the powers of hell at work against the gospel, then you're on a different level. And we're called upon to pray to keep ourselves in the love of God. Now, to encourage you in this responsibility, you'll notice in Jude 24 that while we seek or are responsible to keep ourselves, the Lord will keep us. Verse 24 in Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So praise God, the devil cannot destroy you. The devil cannot destroy either your salvation or your home in heaven. It's secure. Because while you keep yourself, God is keeping you. And that's a great comfort and a great assurance. And when you pray, Lord, not only will you give me grace to do what's right, but Lord, I pray that you do what you must do, that I be kept in this world pressing on from God. Now, in closing today, we're going to look at the marks of deliverance. I mentioned that it was very obvious that Satan, the demon, came out of this young girl at the same hour. It was immediate. It says there in Acts 16 and verse 18 at the end, and he, the demon, came out the same hour. Came out the same hour. There's no degrees of possession. It's either Satan is in you or he's out of you. And of course, this is exactly what we would expect if this is the power of God to deliver. And then in verse 20, it was obvious. Immediately it was known by her masters. Now her masters, they made a slave out of this young girl. They were making money out of her so-called gift, a gift of fortune-telling. Sorceress, sorcery is really a form of fortune-telling or future-telling. Now this begs a question. It means that she must have had some success in that area because people kept coming back to consult her about their futures. When people wanted to know what lay ahead of them, they would resort to this young woman. Her masters would get the silver and the money, but she would conduct her work of sorcery, and she had certain talent, certain abilities to foretell the future. This supernatural realm is not to be dismissed. There are forces at work that can not only deceive, but deceive through some particular powers that show genuineness. And all of it was confusing. And so we must never underestimate the devil with all his fiendish powers. Satan is an intelligent creature. He's got a higher IQ than anyone in this meeting today. He could outsmart us at any time on any subject. And we are underdogs when it comes to resisting the power of the devil. And Satan is very capable of channeling things to the human mind that are beyond the natural. And that was going on in this young woman's life. But praise God, the gospel breaks the power of Satan. And when the Lord Jesus comes into your life, comes into your body, because you're not your own, you're bought with a price. You are redeemed, your body belongs to the Lord. And when the Lord indwells you, there is no possibility of Satan dwelling alongside. There is no possibility of cohabitation between the Lord of glory and Satan or a demon dwelling within your body. And I want to give you some proofs for that because it's a very important thing to rest upon. It's impossible for the Lord and the devil to cohabit. The Lord said that no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. So when the Lord comes into your life, the strong man, the devil, is bound. He's cast out. There's no room for both. Also, the blood of Jesus that redeems the soul is the believer's victory over Satan. And when Jesus shed his blood on the cross, that blood was of such infinite value to God that Satan lost his dominion. He lost his control as the God of this world. And every captive soul for whom Jesus died on that cross is set free by the blood of Jesus. What if today you are Satan's slave? Now, I don't suggest that you're a sorceress or into fortune-telling or into direct devilry. I don't suggest that. I don't even suspect that for a moment. But Satan holds people captive at his will in many ways. He has many powers that entangle and entrap souls. He uses wrong thinking. Maybe your mind is set that God is against you, that God will not have you, or that Jesus died on the cross but not for you. All wrong thinking like that is the devil's game. He also may hold you by the pleasures of sin. And yes, for a time, sin is pleasurable. It's easy, it is gratifying, and it is, in a carnal way, enjoyable. The world has lots of laughter, lots of carnal fun, and you're hooked, and you can't even think of giving that up. Satan has you. He leads you captive at his will. For many people, I fear it is lust. I don't particularly like statistics, but I think we're all aware that pornography is a terrible, terrible plague in our country. It used to be in the minority hidden places of society, but now it's everywhere. And you might be a slave to the devil through the lust of your flesh to those vile, wicked, sensual, sexual sins that are destroying you. You need to admit that you're a slave. In a broader scope, the devil uses deceit. And that comes in many ways. One of the deceits the devil brings is that this book is not the Word of God, and that on the judgment day, you won't have to give account according to this Word. That is a lie. And if you try to rule out that one day you're going to give account for every word and deed according to the standard, the righteous measure, the benchmark of this book, then you're trapped. You're enslaved by the devil. Another device the devil uses is procrastination. And for many well-intended people, it's a very powerful snare. I agree, I understand, I know, but not today. Tomorrow, sometime in my future, when I settle this and that and gain a little bit of worldly ways, then I'll give my heart to Jesus. The way to hell is paved with good intentions. And you are led a slave by these means of deception. The cross of Christ is the dividing line between those who are servants of the Lord Jesus and those who are the slaves of Satan. Those who are Christians who are serving the Lord Jesus, they cling to the cross. They rejoice in that one finished work of redemption that Jesus cried out, it is finished. We say our amen. We rest our souls on the finished work of Christ at the cross, and we are saved. But the slaves of Satan resist the cross. They fight the need for the blood of Jesus. They have within them something of the spirit of Cain, who will not and refuse to learn the secret that God is worshipped only by blood. And they reject the counsel that they must come to the cross and be reconciled to God by the death of Jesus, the only Lamb of God, the Savior of the world. And so there is a battle. And Satan keeps you from bowing the knee and accepting the cross work of the Lord Jesus. Every believer here today has the heart of Abel. You have learned the secret and rejoice in it. It's the wonder of the world. that God so loved you that he sent his son to the cross to die in your place. You love the name of Jesus. You love the name of the cross of Calvary. You love the message that Jesus' blood covers it all. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus and under the blood of the Lamb. That's your hope, that's your faith, that's your message, that's your prayer life. You are therefore like Abel. And praise God, you'll be in heaven. But I plead with you today, if you are not clinging to the cross, rejecting it, denying it. And there is a strange spirit of what the Bible calls enmity, what we might state as hostility, a stepping back. No, don't go there. Don't tell me I need Jesus to save me from my sins. That irritates me. I know it does, because that's the state of fallen man. There is the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And the seed of the serpent is at enmity, fighting, running from the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I bid you today to believe on him, and like this young woman, be delivered, totally delivered. And the wonderful thing is, she never made a penny for her masters from then on. Their gains were spoiled, her life was changed, and Paul, well, we'll learn next week how he paid the price for delivering the message. Will you today give your heart to the Savior? Boys and girls, are you saved? Young people, are you saved? Visitors and friends, are you saved? Have you come to the cross? Is it your boast? Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the believer's boast and glory. Let's unite in prayer, please. Father, we give thanks today that we can preach this message of the blood of the Lamb. And I pray for souls. I pray for your people. Oh Lord, we love the cross. We bless thee for that finished work. Thank you, Lord, for so loving us and delivering us and giving us eternal life. Save the lost today. Oh Lord, speak on while the voice of man is silent. May their hearts be broken, melted. Break the chains of Satan in their lives, the chains of false thinking, of the pleasures of sin, of the lust of the flesh, of making excuses and putting it off. O Lord, today bring them savingly to the cross. Thank you for this time in your house and in your word. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with your redeemed people, now and evermore. Amen.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, and today we have a little story on the power of God's Word. Away in a little town in the far south of Argentina, one day a soldier, attracted by the sound of singing, entered a little mission hall and heard the gospel preached. He stayed behind and spoke to the missionary, who asked him if he was a Christian. Yes, I am, he replied. Where did you hear the gospel? From my mother. Where does she live? She is a long way off, but will you come and see her? She has never heard a preacher, and she will be glad to see you. The missionary went and found on a distant farm, where no missionary had ever been, an old Christian woman. She told him that years before, a colporteur passing that way had left a copy of the Word of God. She had read it, her eyes had been opened, and she had come to know Jesus Christ as her Savior. She had had no teacher but the Spirit of God. That old woman was the mother of 14 children, At the time the missionary visited her, the youngest was 12 years old, and she had led every one of those children to Christ through the reading of the scriptures left by an unknown culpator. And there lies the power of the Word of God when the Holy Spirit is pleased to use that word in the heart of even an unlearned person. Never think that the Bible is beyond you or that you are unable to learn from the Bible. Because if you give yourself to the Word of God to carefully, prayerfully study it, you will find that the Holy Spirit Himself will come and minister to your heart, that word will come alive. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. He moved holy men of God to write it. And the reader, the Holy Spirit, is pleased to open the eyes and open the understanding by a wonderful work of illumination. Now, recently, I explained that the writer was under inspiration, and that is much more than illumination. But when we read the Bible, that is already the Word of God and inspired, God-breathed, the Holy Spirit opens our hearts to comprehend it. He takes away that natural blindness of the human heart, and He enables even the average reader to comprehend the great and profound things of God, such as God is love, not only in word but in power. And He makes us to comprehend what is the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of the love of God. And I pray that as you open the Bible, that you will discover such wonderful truths and be led to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would like a copy of God's Word, even a copy of John's Gospel, we'll be delighted to send it to you. And of course, you can read the Bible on your phone. I often recommend eSword.com, e-sword.com. And there you can have that on your iPad, your computer, or your phone. The Word of God with various helps. May the Lord use that word in your heart. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of this broadcast or would like to hear it again, you can go to ltbs.ca. You will also see ways you may support this gospel ministry. And you will find details about our church in Scarborough, where Reverend Larry Saunders is the minister, in Port Hope, where Reverend Reggie Cranston is the minister, in Barrie, where Reverend Anthony DiDerno is the minister, and in Buffalo, where Reverend Phil Owen is the minister. You will find all their details at ltbs.ca. If I can be of personal help, I would love to open the Bible to talk and pray one-to-one with you so that you may know you are saved and sure of it. Call me at 604-897-2040 or email me at ltbsradio@gmail.com. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Until the same time next week on this station, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His loving care.